Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
So I am Melissa Blackwood. If I have not met you officially, well, let this be kind of official welcoming from me to you. I would love to meet you later. But I'm a part of team here. One of the areas that I serve in the most is CLY. CLY, come on. You guys, I love CLY. City Life Youth, that's what that stands for if you're wondering. And I've got a lot of CLY people here today. Can I hear from my CLY people? Yeah. And last week, we went to Camp Nakaman. We had an Ignite retreat. You guys, okay. Oh, it was so good. You guys, I love teenagers. I love them so much. I'll go hang out with them for a weekend. And not just me, but our whole team. We have like 10 leaders, 15 leaders. I love our leaders. We braved it out there at Nakaman. It was cold, yo. But God was there. It was so good. You know, honestly, like, just so you know, I want to brag on the CLY team because our team Tuesdays, we come early. We set up. We get our hearts ready. We get messages ready. We get music, everything ready for young people. Not only Tuesday, and then we stay late. Because you guys know young people want to hang out late, so we hang out late, you know. And then we even started meeting on Sundays after church. Our team will meet on a Sunday after church, and we will, like, plan for the future of these teens because we love them. And we plan and we hang out, and then we do these weekends away. And we're hanging out with teens during the week. Our team loves your teens. We have a heart for the house. And I mean, that's what this whole series is heart for the house, having a heart for God's house. And I just want you to know why I have a heart for God's house is because his house changed me. Like, I didn't know God when I was a young person. Like, I didn't know who God was. I heard about him. I saw people dressed in long skirts who said they knew God. And I was like, that's weird, you know. But I didn't know God personally, but it was actually coming through the church doors, and it was people who, like, showed me who God was. It was their character that showed me who God was, right? Because I, like, came in skeptical. I was like, what is all of this? But it was through people, like, serving me. It was through people, like, making me feel so welcome. I was like, oh, dang, these people are really nice. It must be fake. They're just putting on a fake, you know, little Sunday smile. No. The more I came to church, the more I was like, they're genuinely, like, kind and loving people, right? People took the time to, like, invest in me. People took the time to, like, see how I was doing. Honestly, just gonna get real right now, but, like, it was somebody on team at City Life who called me. I had almost died from alcohol poisoning, and they called me not to say, what are you doing? They called me because they loved me. It was like people serving me like that. I was like, huh, so God is pretty cool, right? It was like through people that I met God. It was through people serving me. And I was like, man, these people have poured their life. Like the music, how many times in worship have you been here on a Sunday and you're like, I feel God's presence. It's because these people are allowing us. Because they're taking the time, they're taking their time to be like, this is how awesome our God is, right? It's through their time that we get to experience God. Man, it's through the coffee bar team who's pouring sweet liquid nectar into my mouth, waking me up. It's through them serving me that I'm able to be up here and be crazy, right? And Jesus, like, that mostly was Jesus who planned that, but it's through people, like, checking up on me. It's through, I've actually made some of the best friends in church. People who have, like, encouraged me. People who have kicked me in the butt. Man, JD one time took me aside and he said, Melissa, You are terrible with time. You are late all the time. This makes people feel not appreciated. And I started crying in front of him. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I didn't know. I have a problem. Right? All the people who are late, you get it. I just want to say that us late people, our weaknesses are on display for all of you to make fun of. But you all have weaknesses too. We just can't tell. Oh, it's the worst. But it's through him saying, Melissa, you suck at this. Girl, but I needed that. It's through like people serving me and saying the things that they don't want to say, but they said it and makes me a better person. It's through people pouring into me and saying, Melissa, you're a leader. Use your time, not just for yourself, right? Like it's people who've poured into me. And then I'm like, oh, okay. There's more, right? This is why I have a heart for the house. My life has been changed because of God's house, because of God's people, because God works through people to reach people. Who knows that's true, right? God uses people to reach people. Okay. Have you guys ever experienced something you knew you needed to do, but you didn't do it? Right?
She's bringing it up. I don't want to talk about it.
Right? Things you know you should do. But you're like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Okay, mine, when I was 19 years old, God said to me, Melissa, you need to wake up early and spend time with me. And I said, no thanks. Like it was not so much no thanks, like a straight up no thanks, but it was more like a, okay, yeah. Yeah, totally, totally. And then I would like sleep in and not wake up early. And I'm like, ugh. And then I just gave up. Do you know what I mean? Like you try and then you're like, well, it's not working. So I'm just going to not do it. But he told me, wake up early, wake up early, wake up early. I didn't do it. But you guys, hallelujah, there is the Lord Almighty. 30 years of age, 11 years later. Oh, Melissa here. She's waking up early in the morning to seek the Lord. And it is hard. But it is so sweet. But I'm serious. You know, why did God tell me? Actually, no, let me tell you about my mornings, okay? Do you guys want to hear about my mornings? I make coffee early. I have breakfast made the night before, so it's an easier transition. And I wake up 6:30. Sometimes I go for a run, okay? But then I get into my living room. I open my Bible. And I'm like, God, here I am. I'm yours. What do you want to talk about today? And I read the Bible. And I talk to him. And it's been in those mornings that I've heard God's voice. It's been in those mornings that I've actually had, like, you know when you have a problem and your mind can't get past that problem? God has actually switched that. He's actually switched my thinking. It's amazing. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm cool with that now, you know? But God has like transformed me in those mornings together. So why did God tell me I needed to wake up early? Was he just being bossy? You know, was he just being a dictator and he's like, you better listen to me, right? Did he just want me to obey him? He asked me to do something to change the way I was thinking. Because my thinking was actually not the way he wanted me to think. My thinking actually represented the world's way of thinking. Right? Because there are, whether we realize it or not, there are two realities. And so once I point them out, maybe you'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I see that. But there's reality, there's the reality of like brokenness, of like sadness, anger, frustration, pain, anxiety, depression, the list could go on, right? We know that reality. But there's another reality. And that reality is one of hope, of peace, of joy, of excitement, right? Do you guys know that reality? We know both realities. And I'm going to give a name to those realities. One is the reality, this world's reality. It's a broken reality. But another is God's reality. And so how do we know which one we're living in? How do we know what reality we're living in? Right? Like, I was living in, and I still am in ways, you know, where it's a constant change, but I live in that broken reality a lot of the time. It's just like this frustration, or I'm just thinking about me and what I need, and I'm thinking like, oh, this makes me mad, get out of my way. You know, like, that's a broken reality. But then there's God's reality, who's always trying to, like, get in there. He's like, Melissa, there is hope. There is good. I have peace. I have healing. That's God's reality trying to break in. There are two realities. So which reality are we living in? And a big area that we can tell what we live in is when it comes to our time, our treasure, and our talent. And today I want to talk about our time, what we give our time to. What reality is deciding what I do with my time, right? You can tell what people have a heart for based on where they spend their time. You know, you people who love, you know, you're at the rink, you're playing hockey, you're watching your kids play hockey. When you're not playing hockey or watching hockey, you're at home watching it on the TV, you're cheering on or being sad about the Oilers, you know, or you've got an app and you're checking your app with the stats, right? What do you have a heart for? You have a heart for hockey. That's the right answer. Yep. You have a heart for hockey. If, you know somebody who's like, they're always hanging out, going on coffee dates, going to events, going to parties, being with people. They have a heart for people, right? People. What we spend our time on shows where our heart is at. So what do you spend your time on? Okay, I want to talk about three areas of time. First one, transforming our view of time. Second one is giving our time. And third one is our heart motive. Because time is a weird thing, right? Like, I certainly don't understand it. I'm starting to, but Lord knows. Like, time just, like, it's over my head. People are like, girl, you got 5 minutes. I'm like, great, let me take a shower, shave my legs, and eat breakfast. Right? Like, that's my view of time. I don't know. They get mad at me. But it's weird because we've all been given the same amount of time in a day. But some of us spend it way better than others do, right? We all spend time differently. It's precious. It's a limited thing. That's why it is precious, right? Because we don't know how much time we've got. Are we spending our time on the right things? How do we know if we're giving our time to the right things? I'm sure we've thought about this, right? That's why we have our day timers. That's why we have our calendars, because it's like, am I spending my time on the right things in life, right? I've learned to prioritize. People here, do you guys prioritize? Do you guys make to-do lists and then prioritize your to-do list? I've gotten there. It's so exciting. Time, you ain't got a hold on me. I'm going to tell you what to do. So, Paul, he writes to the church, Romans 12, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I'm going to jump a little down. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Jumping down to verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So what Paul is doing, he's writing to the church, right? We are the church. We are God's people. And he's writing to them and he's reminding them, you guys, this is kingdom culture. This is that other reality. Like, a lot of what's said in there, it's like, it doesn't make sense in our real world, right? In the world's reality, we're like, what? Give our time? I belong to everybody else? Don't conform? Like, what are we talking about, right? It's because it's a different reality. But Paul is reminding us, you guys, this is God's reality. This is kingdom culture. So whenever I talk about kingdom culture, like, we know culture. Western culture, we've all got a culture, right? People are trying to build a culture around them. McDonald's, what is McDonald's culture? McDonald's culture is that they want things to be fast, consistent, and friendly, right? That's the culture of McDonald's. That's what they're working towards. So whenever you go to a McDonald's, that's what you get. That's their culture, right? Families have a culture. You guys' family has a culture. My family's culture was work hard, play hard, right? Got to work hard and then you can play hard. But what is our culture? If we are Christians, if we are, like, if God is our father, then we've actually stepped into his culture. Like, he's our father. So he's saying, this is the way we act. This is the way we are as a people. He's reminding us, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, because it is so easy to do that. We're around it all the time, right? But what is the culture that we live in? It's a me first culture, right? It's like, what do you need? What is best for you? How does this fit into your plans for your life? Does this make you happy, right? It's a me first. Our culture is all about the individual. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I think we can all agree that when we live in a me first kind of thinking, it does not work well in a community or with other people, right? If you're in a marriage and if one person or if both people are me first people, that marriage is gonna suck. It straight up is. Because you're like, what's gonna serve me? What's good for me? But kingdom culture is you first. And so in marriage, if two people are saying you first, ooh, that's magic, right? You're serving each other. You just want to, like, outdo each other. It's like, what do you need? No, what do you need? And then it's like this beautiful circle of love. It is. You first. Kingdom culture is about you first. I got there. Good. Good. We're looking nice, Mel. You know it. You don't got to look at your notes. No, you don't. Okay. Here we are, though. Back on track. Jesus. Always Jesus. Always Jesus. But Jesus came into the world saying you first, right? And that's why we say you first. So coming back to Jesus on point number two, giving our time. What did Jesus do with his time, right? If he is the one who lived life perfectly and he's like, this is how you should live life. Okay, so how did you spend your time, Jesus? He spent time with God and he spent time with people. Spent time with God and he spent time with people, serving people. That's what he did. And so, is that how we spend our time? Are we spending time with God alone? Like I said in my, like, at the beginning with my story of spending time with God alone early in the morning, I'm not saying everybody has to do that. I'm not saying that that's the magical formula to hear God's voice. But you got to hear what he wants from you and listen. That's the tough part, isn't it? Took me 11 years to listen to the Lord. But he loves me, and that's so great. Isn't that cool that it's like 11 years I'm being a dum-dum, and he's like, Mel, I still want to spend time with you, girl. Get your poop in a group and come over here. But get your poop in a group, guys. Oh, but do it. Like, spend time with God. That's where he will transform your mind. In that verse in Romans, it says, do not conform to the customs of this world, but be transformed by God. Are you allowing God to transform you? We can only live in his reality if we let him transform our thinking, transform our thoughts. Man, so I'm so excited for you guys to spend time alone with the Lord, because he will refuel you. It is so good. And then spend time serving people. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. When people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to practice hospitality. It says we belong to each other. That's God's kingdom reality. He's saying, as a people, we belong to each other. I am not my own. You are not your own. Look around. Like, we belong to each other. Some people you don't even know, and you're like, I belong to you.
Better get to know each other.
But we belong to each other. And honestly, it's like, that's why I serve young people. Is because, man, it's because people poured into me at a young age that I see the importance to do it for others. Man, it's through our time that we serve each other, right? It's just giving people our time. Sometimes I don't even have something smart to say to a young person or whomever I'm serving at the time. But I don't have necessarily something to say, but it's like being there with them. It's like letting them know you're on their side. That you're praying with them. That's serving somebody, is praying for them. Man, that's how any young person knows. On a CLY night, if you come to me with a problem, we're going to pray. That's just what we do. That's how I serve you, because I can't change anything. Only God can change you. But I'll serve you by praying for you, and I'll pray for you at home too. In my mornings, I'll pray for you. So, but I serve ultimately. You know, we can serve by doing all sorts of things, you guys. It's by just giving our time in any way. If that means that somebody's sick, go give them soup. You know, serving people does not have to be this like, crazy thing, but it's just choosing the needs of somebody else over your own. And when we talk about serving in church on a Sunday, it's because we love you. It's because we've been changed by serving, by people serving us, and we've been changed by ourselves serving. That's why we encourage you to serve. It's not because it's like we want to like be like, do things, vacuum the floor. You know, it's because it's so good for us. That is God's kingdom culture that we're trying to get into you. We're trying to help you. We're fighting against the me first culture, and we're trying to bring in God's kingdom culture. And that's why we want to be servants. Serving God and others should never stop on a Sunday, but it actually should be a lifestyle. It should be who we are. It should be pouring over into school. It should be pouring over into our workplace. It should be pouring over into our families. I'm not telling you, you guys. I'm just going to tell you right now. It is not going to be easy all the time. You're going to dislike people on your team. You're going to dislike people you're serving. They're not going to be grateful. And that's okay. Honestly, Pete, like, I'm not going to tell you who, but, like, there's people on the CLY team that I was like, Lord, why? You know? Oh, I was like a headache. I was like, are you for reals? You know, they're kind of annoying, kind of needy. But the more I served them, God changed my heart. And now they're some of my, like, greatest friends. He's weird. God is weird. But that's what he does. He changes us. He says, please, please step out in faith because I have something great for you. It seems like it's going to be a lot of work. It seems scary. You don't think you're going to have enough time. You don't think that you're going to have time for your family. Don't worry. I'll take care of all of it. Trust me. Trust me in this. Serve. And it's when we allow serving on a Sunday to like overflow into our everyday life, that's when like magic happens, you guys. That's when people's relationships are happening, and then people are like, oh, you know, getting talking, and then they're like getting creative, and they're like, oh, well, what if we like started this thing called Fashion for Freedom, where we like created fashion and it was a big fashion show, and then we raised money for a charity. Right? That came from a servant heart. There's other things like My Single Parents Closet, where people got together, they were at church together, and they're like, man, maybe like one thing I have a heart for is to provide for single parents in our community. So what if we gathered a whole bunch of clothes, whole bunch of toys, whole bunch of things people need, had a garage sale, but it's free. And all the single parents can come and get what they need. That's serving our community. That's a servant heart that's overflowing into the rest of our world. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bring his kingdom to the rest of the world. But it all happens from the why. Who knows here that you're just like, I need a why. I need to know why I'm doing things. Or else it's just like means nothing, right? Anybody in love here? Anybody been in love? No. Ooh, that's sad, bro. You guys. Anybody been in love? You know that when you're in love, you just want to hang out with that person all the time, right? You like, oh, when I first met Mark, still love him, but when I first met him, you know, we would like hang out in groups. We would hang out at church. We would hang out after church. We would hang out alone, purely. Not very pure, but we'd hang out alone. And, you know, we would when we weren't together, we would call each other. Or when we weren't calling each other, we were thinking about each other, right? When you love somebody, nobody's got to tell you to hang out with them, right? And, or to care about what they care about. I did the weirdest stuff for Mark. I watched army videos. I shot guns. This is weird for me, P.S. If you think that's cool, nice. But I didn't. And, oh, for our honeymoon, we went to Palm Springs. I went to an airplane museum that was outside in the middle of summer in Palm Springs, 40-degree weather. That is love. Right? Airplanes. Like, how long are you looking at an airplane for? Holy, they all look the same. My gosh. Something's wrong with the man, but that's okay. I love him. We do things for people when we love them. We want to do things for them. We want to be a part of what they love when we love them. And so with God, it's through loving him and knowing him that makes us want to spend time with him. It's through loving him and knowing him that makes us want to serve. Because if we are missing the loving part, we're just doing it out of obligation. You know, too, if you're here and you're in a relationship and you do things out of obligation, your partner knows. My husband's like, yeah, I'll go shopping with you. He's like, oh, the whole time. I'm like, get out of here. You're not doing this because you love me. You're just obligated. So are you serving out of obligation or out of love? Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant, to offer his life as ransom for others. My reason for serving is because he served me first. The reason why I love God is because he loved me first. The reason why I give him my time and my life is because he gave his life first. God came to earth. He came to earth as Christ, and he deserved our attention. He deserved to be worshipped. He deserved to like have our love and our devotion to be put up on a throne and like fanned, right? He deserved to be treated like royalty. But instead, he came to his creation and he served. He served us, his creation. He washed our feet. He healed us. He listened to us. He prayed for us. He rose us up. He spoke life into us. And not only did Jesus give his time, but he laid down his life. And it wasn't for his own good. It was for us because we couldn't get out of that broken kingdom without him. And so he did it for us. Instead of saying me first, he said you first. And that's what makes me want to spend time with God. That's what makes me want to serve other people. And that's where we find the strength to say you first, was because he said it first. And so my question is how will you spend your time? Don't do it out of obligation. Do it because you love him. Will you let him transform your heart? Will you serve in his house? Will you serve others? Will you serve at work, at school, or at home? When people don't deserve it, will you start that project that God has put into your heart? Let's stand up. God, we are so thankful, Father, that God, you are in this place. And Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you served us first. We're so thankful, God, that you loved us first. God, that while we didn't want anything to do with you, while we thought you weren't real, while we thought that you were not worth our time, you still decided to come and serve us, and you still gave your life for us. And God, I pray that today that rings true in people's hearts, God, that they recognize the truth of who you are, that you have a servant heart. God, that you don't ask us to do things that you yourself haven't done. And God, that you will provide. And so, Father, there are people here who, God, they've been serving faithfully. They love you with their whole heart. And God, they just continue to pour out to others. God, I thank you that you're going to release a fresh refueling in them. God, that you're going to release, God, fresh faith in them, fresh hope. God, that you're going to just let them see such cool things, God, that as they pray, that they will see answers to their prayers. God, that those people that they've been pouring into time and time again, God, that they're going to come to know you. God, thank you for those who are here, and God, that they aren't serving. God, that's okay. You love us where we're at. But God, you're inviting them. You're inviting them to be some part of something bigger. A part of your house, a part of your plan, a part of your purpose to bring that amazing kingdom, that kingdom of hope and peace and love and restoration. You want to bring that through us. So God, for those who are here and they're like, man, I know I need to serve wherever it is. God, we just thank you, Father, that we will follow through on that. It won't take us 11 years, Lord. But God, that today is the day that people are going to decide to allow that serving heart to stir up in them. And we're going to pray together for those who haven't accepted Jesus, who don't know God, and they're like, but this sounds great and I want to be a part of it. We're going to pray together as a family for those who want to respond to God's goodness and his love. Jesus, thank you for your love, that you chose me first, even when I didn't know you, that you loved me. And I give my life to you. Help guide me. Tell me where you want me to go, where you want me to serve, what friends I should have. Lead me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Cool, you guys.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.